Now, back to a couple of guys that think Dr. Doolittle was a quack. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, for this final segment on seahorses, I've decided that there really isn't a better expert on the topic. Even if I searched out everybody at Bruce Pets, this is absolutely right up your wheelhouse. So we're going to use you as the guest in this segment because I want to talk about what it would take to set up a seahorse fish tank or add them to a fish tank, because I'm sure there are some issues related to the environment, the compatibility with other fish. Why don't you talk a little bit about what type of an environment someone would need to set up in order to have seahorses?
So in some ways, seahorses tend to be one of the more simple and easy environments to set up. In other ways, people are maybe sometimes disappointed because they don't have a lot of other marine life or all the marine life that you see in the store. Some of that stuff can't live with them. Most, as Vince mentioned, a reef is a different complex than where these guys are found. You know, in the seaweeds and in the mangroves is kind of a very calm because of the break. You know, the weeds, you know, the wave energy is then stop more or less, or at least slowed down. Mm-hmm. So when we create an environment for a seahorse, we don't need all the rustling activity that we would put a coral under. Okay. Now, they also have a very selective feeding mechanism where they actually, they're more like, you know how, they're more of an opportunistic, you know, they look like a tree more or less. In this case, they look like a weed or they look like a mangrove. They're just staying still. They're looking like nature. And then these unsuspecting little crustaceans that he mentioned are moving around, and then they have this very, very fast snap. They just reach out, they snap their prey, and then they pull them back in. Well, the problem is they even do that with frozen foods.
Right.
So the problem is you can't expect them to have that feeding mechanism and then throw fish in there that can eat 10 times faster than them. So you really create a relatively small, you don't need a big tank, just a simple anywhere from a 15-gallon to a 30-gallon aquarium makes for a suitable seahorse tank because they're not going to move around a whole lot. And then you provide some simple filtration and some simple water changes and some simple feeding habits. Maybe throw on there a protein skimmer. And that's about it. They're really easy to keep. I could see just about anybody wanting them. And maybe one of the obstacles are the, you know, the price tag of the seahorse itself. But realistically, you know, for a bit of money, but, you know, just a couple hundred, you can actually have a seahorse world and then put a seahorse in it. So,
is it something that you would recommend for beginning
no.
people, or is it something for more experienced hobbyists?
It's not that it wouldn't work well for a beginner, but it is one of those things that you just need to be familiar with what a marine fish tank is. So somebody that's willing to sit down and listen and focus on what it takes to be successful with a seahorse, for sure. That's not a problem. You don't have to be a seasoned, you know, many of the practices that we have as hobbyists now in the marine hobby, you could be as long in the teeth as you want, but you have to learn things all over again. So it's just the idea that you want to do it right, and we have the instructions to do that. And it's not our instructions. It's just what we collectively know now with the internet, with the collection of hobbyists, and with the ability to kind of share information back and forth. It's easy to do seahorses. That's not the problem. If anybody wants to come in and do it, that's fine. We have classes, not specifically on seahorses, but we have kind of just a personal time we'll take with a customer and actually make them successful with the idea. That's what's exciting. Now, I do have to comment. Seahorses are one of those things that I don't care what family comes in. If they just see that seahorse tank, it's a whole new world. It's what makes me working there like worthwhile, because it's I remember when I was the young kid going into that one pet shop mm-hmm. that no other pet shop had, and I saw the seahorses for the first time, and I was like, you've got to be kidding. I think I was hook, line, and sinker to the marine hobby when I saw that, and I was probably 12.
Right.
And I haven't given it up yet because just the fascinatingness of the marine life creatures are just, you can't beat it. You know, and now you can actually have one in your home.
Right. Now, when it comes to getting seahorses, now Vince mentioned that you wanted to have either two males or two females, but you didn't want a male and a female. Are these creatures that travel better in pairs or in multiples as opposed to having just a single individual seahorse? I mean, is there enough understanding of them to understand how they operate independently as opposed to in tandem with others?
Well, as long as you have, let's say, a 30-gallon aquarium, there's no reason why you can't have two or three seahorses. They do have this tail that wraps around just about anything. So, you know, you just want to make sure there's some degree of compatibility. You might want to be careful of what seahorses go with what seahorses. But as a general rule, they are rather compatible with each other. They are fascinating to watch. And there's no real restrictions on, you know, you don't want to put too many in a tank. But one will do fine. Just fine. He won't be lonely. He seems to live just fine in captivity. But several of them in a tank isn't a bad idea either.
Okay. And Vince mentioned that they can live up to 10 years. How big? Do they grow throughout their lifetime or do they max out at a certain size?
As he was saying, they reach adulthood really quickly and then they don't grow too much after that. And there's different species. Some are going to get a 4-inch. Some are going to get a 6-inch. Some are going to stay 3-inch. And he was mentioning they have a variety of types of seahorses. So when we bring in seahorses from ORA, we're not always sure what species we're going to get. It's usually one of two or three different species. And so maybe doing your homework and knowing which of that species is and how big it's going to get. But they all get maybe in the 3.5 to 4.5, maybe 5 inches in size. And that's probably not going to be the case in the future because they probably are working on other seahorses that get substantially larger. I know we have had some that have gotten as much as 6 inches. But the bigger the seahorse, maybe the bigger the tank.
Right. And Rick, I didn't want to say this in front of Vince because I don't want him to know how stupid I really am, but you already know it, so I'll say it to you.
You are saying this to our listening audience,
well,
too.
Well, that's okay. The audience knows that, too. In terms of seahorses, how did they get that name?
Well, it has mainly, it's pretty easy to see. They look just like a horse, you know, and they are in their sea environment. So it's their Latin name, Hippocanthus. So it was just whoever identified them in the first place kind of identified them as a horse.
But there's no evolution from there. I mean.
No. Yeah. Yeah, right. No little sea ponies. You know, this is all just a fish that just happens to look like a horse.
Right.
And because it looks like a horse, when they're doing Latin names and they're trying to identify things, they kind of associated with things that you and I would actually connect with. And they do look like a horse. It looks like something you would ride under the sea. And I'm sure many of the cartoons that are out there kind of depict that when they're doing undersea world depictions. You know,
right. And you said the cost for setting up a tank like that to get all of the different things that you would need for it, you're looking at a couple $100s.
Yeah, probably more like it depends what equipment we put on there, but it could be more likely $300 to $400 is a basic setup. You might be able to, it depends on the protein skimmer and a back filter. There are a few techniques that we could use, and you'd have a little bit extra work ahead of you, and you'd spend something closer to $200. But as a general rule, they're probably spending maybe $300 to $350, $400.
But when you prorate that out over a 10-year lifetime, if you can keep them that long, that sure doesn't seem like a lot of money. And you're right, every time I'm in your store, it's utter fascination when it comes to looking at them. So, Rick, thank you.
One quick one. If it's not, keeping them isn't for everyone. You know, maybe you want to have a reef tank and not a seahorse tank, but coming into the store and enjoying that particular animal, anyone's welcome. Anyone's invited. And we don't always have them, but we try to have them quite regularly.
Well, Rick, thank you so much for answering those questions because it is a fascinating topic. Seahorses are just amazing. So I appreciate your going over it. And that's all we've got for this week. But on behalf of our producer, Mark Price, and my co-host in the studio, Rick Pruse, this is Lee Cohen wishing all of you a great week. We'll see you next weekend for the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show here on 1320 WILS. And all of you, please please take good care of your pets. Have a great week, everybody.
If you're out of the listening area, you can hear our show live online. Go to 1320wils.com and click on the Listen Live link. Got some ideas, suggestions, questions? Email us at mmpets@1320wils.com. Join our Facebook page at Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. You can upload your own pictures, make comments, and interact with other pet enthusiasts.